Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. In the Bible, Job is described as a righteous and wealthy man who fears God and shuns evil. Despite his piety, Job experiences unimaginable suffering as he loses his wealth, his children, and his health in a series of catastrophic events. The question arises, why would such a righteous person suffer so severely? His friends can't imagine that a good person could experience such trouble, so they look for an explanation elsewhere. Eliphaz, the Temanite, is the first one to address his friend and the first one to accuse.
As I said before, only the innocent prosper. Since you are obviously not prospering, you must have done something wrong. Yes, I heard your protests. But after you proclaimed your innocence, it made me think that you do not fear God. If you did fear God, you would not face such suffering.
You are all miserable comforters.
Next, Bildad the Shuhite speaks.
If you will seek God earnestly and plead with the Almighty, if you are pure and upright, even now, he will rouse himself on your behalf and restore you to your prosperous state.
Why should I give heed to anything that you say? You have the gall to imply that my children deserve to die. I wish that I could plead my case before God. I wish that I had an advocate who could intervene on my behalf.
Then Zophar, the Naamathite, takes his turn.
Why are you complaining? Bildad talks about your children. But he should have talked about you, Job. You deserved even worse than what you got.
Where's this coming from? It's as if the three of you have never met me before. What are these egregious sins that you allege that I have committed? How much worse are my wrongdoings than yours? I tell you that I am innocent. And I know I will be vindicated.
God punishes the wicked. Since you are being punished, you must have done something wrong.
Leave me alone. How long will you torment me and crush me with words? Can you not show me some pity?
Why do you deserve pity?
A good friend provides comfort and support in times of need, lifting up their friend when they are down.
True friends are willing to offer honest feedback and correction, even when it is difficult to hear.
You are not true friends, for your feedback is based on empty speculation and fanciful musings.
Are you upset with us or angry at God?
Despite all your misguided allegations, I know that my God is alive and that he knows all things. God will be the one to judge me fairly. Even now, I will put my trust in him.
Is not your wickedness great? Are not your sins endless? You have withheld water from the thirsty and food from the hungry. You have sent widows away empty-handed and crushed the arms of the fatherless. You have stripped the naked of their clothing.
How can you say that?
Are you mad? I have done the complete opposite of each of the things that you have charged me with.
Job, you are my friend. And I believe that you are upright and blameless. But you are a man, just as I am. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. How then can man be in the right before God? How can he who is born of woman be pure?
Only God can know all things and fully understand the situation.
I know we have said this many times, but it bears repeating. Only the one who commits wickedness suffers. Have you ever seen the wicked prosper?
Are you blind? Yes. 1,000 times yes. God, for some reason, does allow the wicked to prosper. Many spend their years in prosperity and go down to the grave in peace. Take the Sabaeans, who attacked my property, stole my livestock, and killed my servants. They have been raiding farms and plundering villages for years. And yet, they are prosperous traders. They grow crops in the desert. They have troves of gold and frankincense. And they have established powerful kingdoms. Or the Chaldeans, who have also ravaged the land for generations, and also stole my camels. They control important trade routes that connect Edom and Babylonia with Arabia and other places, much farther to the east and the south. They have been able to harness the waters of the Euphrates and Tigris rivers, enabling them to cultivate fertile lands and produce abundant crops. Travel all over the world, or even just down the street, and you will find unscrupulous businessmen who gain wealth through dishonest or unethical means. Tyrants who maintain their positions through violence, cruelty, or manipulation. Judges or elders, who use their authority to further their own interests, accepting bribes or favoring the rich and powerful over the poor and marginalized. Thieves and robbers who lay in wait for the innocent. And false prophets who misrepresent God. Lord God, give me patience to endure such ignorance and naivete.
My beloved Job, my heart aches to see you suffer so greatly. I know I spoke in haste and anger when I said to curse God and die, but I was anguished and could not bear to see you in such pain. Forgive me, my husband. I have listened to the words of your friends, and while they speak from their perspective, only you know the depths of your own heart. Please know that I am here for you, that I love you, and that I stand by your side through this trial, no matter what others may say.
Yes, I have suffered. We have both suffered, Sidus and I. You cannot imagine, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, what it feels like to have everything taken away from you in one day. I cannot go to the city gates. Children are frightened of me. Young men mock me. The destitute and the desperate pity me. The elders of the city shun me. This house and these fields that used to be teeming with activity are all eerily quiet. God has seen fit to bring pain, in the body, in the heart, and in the mind, into my life. Yes, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will trust him. And I will surely defend my ways to his face.
While Job and his three friends argue, a newcomer arrives. He is Elihu ben Barachel, the Buzite, of the family of Ram. As a Buzite, he is a descendant of the second son of Nahor, the brother of Abraham, the patriarch. As a younger man, he waits to speak. And then he addresses Job and the other three.
I gave you my full attention. But not one of you has proved Job wrong. None of you has answered his arguments. I listen to you all, because you are my elders. But I could finally take no more. I became increasingly angry with you, Job, for justifying yourself rather than God. And I was frustrated with the rest of you, because you found no way to refute Job, and yet you have condemned him. Job, you are wrong to question God's justice. He is all-knowing and all-powerful, and we cannot understand his ways. Everyone is guilty of sin, and we all deserve to suffer. You are arrogant and proud, and you are challenging God's authority. You need to humble yourself and submit to God's will. I know that you are suffering, and I am sorry for your pain. But you need to understand that God is not punishing you. He is testing your faith. If you remain faithful, he will reward you in the end. I urge you to stop questioning God and start trusting him. He knows what is best for you. If you humble yourself and submit to his will, he will restore you to your former prosperity. I know that this is difficult to hear, but it is the truth. You need to face the truth and accept God's will. Only then will you find peace. God is great, beyond our understanding. The number of his years is past finding out. Out of the south comes the storm, and out of the north, the cold. From the breath of God, ice is made, and the expanse of the waters is frozen. Also with moisture, he loads the thick cloud, he disperses the cloud of his lightning. Listen to this, Job, stop and consider God's wonders.
Toward the end of his speech, Elihu describes a storm and the power of God's voice in the thunder. Little does he know that his words are foreshadowing something no one could have imagined.